Sermon, Thoughts on Revelation 22, Glendale, California, May 22, 1907. Revelation 22, verse 1 to 5. That is the time when the work is closed and finished. To verse 12. Now we have that assurance, and as we have that assurance there, so does every soul that is brought in connection with the light and the truth, and they are to understand that according to their works shall be their reward. Then how foolish we should be here in the little lifetime that we have, how foolish, to fill our life with such anxiety that we shall gain something of this world, and get our whole mind upon commercialism. We do not want to do that. We have not established our sanitariums expecting that that would bring unto us riches. We have established them because they are a means to reach the people. Through the indulgence of their own appetite, through the loss that they have obtained in not having a clear mind and a clear sense of God's requirements, they become worldly, and their hearts are separated from God. And therefore, we are glad to take a position in this world as God's denominated people. Now the work before us, that is assigned us, is to glorify God, not ourselves. And all our works are to be in that light before God where we can realize we have communion with Him. His exactions upon every human soul are of that order, not to make them unhappy, but to bring them in a position where His truth will triumph. It is the truth that we are to live for. It is through the sanctification of the truth that we are to be made capable to take hold of the eternal realities. But the devil is not dead. He is more active than ever before. Why? Because he is determined to obtain the victory over the human family. God presents before us the light of truth, His Word, His precious Word. He would have us study that Word and have our minds imbued with the sentiments, the commissions, and the encouragement and the forbiddings that are in the Word, that we might take a course of action by which we can place ourselves in right relation to God and heavenly things. Verses 8, 9. One man is not to place undue reverence to another. This one has been an overcomer. He is one of those that has been translated into heaven. And as John fell down to worship him, he said, I am of thy fellow servants, the prophets, worship God. Then, you see, every man is judged by his works. And there is a power given unto us out of and away from ourselves if we will seek it, if we will turn our attention to the preparation that is essential for every one of us to have, that we may be able to see his face. God is in earnest with us. He says, according to their works. Revelation 20, verse 12. So God knows the works, and it is for every one of us to place ourselves in right relation to God that we will realize His presence. We need to realize, Thou God seest me. Genesis 16, verse 13. Thou God seest all my works and my actions. Now we want these to be brought in. Let the light and the truth and the grace and the salvation of God be revealed in us. Then what? We are ministers, men or women. You are ministers. How? Of salvation. Your conduct, your words, everything speaks of God, and you are trying to lead in the way of life and holiness. Now these places were established here for a purpose, that we might have an opportunity to do good. Christ, when He was upon earth, did not have the advantages that we have, but the Lord of life and glory laid off His royal crown, laid aside His royal robe, and clothed His divinity with humanity, that humanity might come close to humanity, and that all that were connected with Him might be capable through their obedience to His word. They might be capable to overcome the corruptions that are in the world through lust. Now, our Redeemer lived a life of industry. No one can describe that life of Christ. His humanity was to be tempted like every human being upon the face of the earth, and He is to stand before the world as a representative of an overcomer in His humanity. And at the same time, for anyone that needed wisdom and grace and help, there was His divinity, and they could escape the corruption that is in the world through lust by listening to His teaching. He would encircle them in the arms of His divinity and give them health and strength and courage that they should be overcomers. He is doing that very work for us today. And the Lord Jesus left everything in heaven to save us. Are we willing to leave everything here that is of various inducements? Are we willing to leave everything, that we may perfect a Christian character and escape the corruptions that are in the world through lust? He requires nothing of us that he himself has not been partaker of, all the discouragements. When he would take his disciples aside, away from the scenes and all the bustle of the world, he would converse with them and speak of the power that he felt must come to man to escape the temptations of Satan. He would go aside from them, and they could hear his petition with strong crying and tears. His humanity was just as our humanity and temptation. And yet he never failed on a single point, neither need we if we will lay hold of his divine power. But we have but a sprinkling of faith when we ought to read the Word and have great faith. We ought to be encouraged. We have not, in this world, to meet with these difficulties that Christ had. He would walk from place to place, and one after another would come to him, and his look was an encouragement, and his words came right to their heart, although he did not address them especially. But they could not leave him. The attraction was so great in his subject, in his actions, that they wanted his company, until 5,000 were assembled on one occasion. There they were, following him until they were faint and hungry and weary, and fainting right by the way. But they did not want to lose a word. Then how was it? He walked until he came to a grassy spot, and he bid them sit down. They had not any nice seats or chairs, but they sat down. Christ pitied them because they were fainting for want of food. He said, "Have you any meat?" "Here," said Andrew, "is a lad with 5 loaves and a few small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Said he, "Pass them along." They brought them to him. Then what did he do? He took a portion and gave to the disciples, and they passed them to the people. But there was just as much left, and he kept working in that way until everyone was satisfied. And then what? Gather up the fragments, let nothing be lost. And after having fed 5,000 people, besides women and children, 12 basketfuls were gathered up. John 6, verse 5 to 13. Now, we have not the privilege of all that advantage, but we do have the temptations which come, and of which we will say, "What are these among so many?" There is a commercialism that comes in, and it is a very dangerous element, a commercialism that will shut out from the minds the great privilege that we have every day of coming to the Lord Jesus and telling him just what we need. It diverts the attention, and it takes their time, and the ambition of Satan comes into the human heart, and before they know it, they are overpowered by it. We cannot afford it. If it were not that God gives me strength, I would not venture on such a journey as I have taken since I left home, and undertake the work that is given me to do. But I know the source of my strength, and if I will lean my whole weight on Jesus and increase my faith by looking at Jesus, I can do a little something yet. I have spoken now to several congregations, and the Lord did not fail me once. He has been with me every time that I have attempted to speak. The hoarseness came upon me when I was speaking for the first time for 40 years, the first time that I have opened my lips and had any hoarseness come upon me. Well, I closed off because I thought it was proper and it was time. But that did not discourage me, not a bit. I did not know how long that might last, but they worked with me faithfully here, and I put myself in their hands to help me. Now, this is one of God's means. Christ is not here, as when upon earth, to give the food and the instruction, but we can imitate his example the best we can, and he will accept it. Revelation 22, verse 12, do his commandments. Now when we know that, when that word is pronounced, we want to study the Bible. We want to know his commandments, and then to keep ourselves on Christ's side, and not place ourselves on the side of indulgence, as the temptations are represented everywhere of dissipation and allurements, and ambition to dress, and the talk is in accordance with the dress. We want to be in that position where we can be faithful stewards of the grace of God. Now every soul that is here, take advantage of what you shall hear and understand from the teachers here, and as faithful stewards gather everything you can. And as you work in accordance with the word of life, there is a strength, there is an opening of the mind to understand, and the understanding that you receive you will want to communicate. You will let it proceed from your lips and from your heart. Well, this is the very work that this institution was established for. The question is asked, why need you so many institutions? Because Satan is making his last desperate effort that he may secure them by one means and another means, and through ambitious projects and through investments, that there is nothing, only just an ambition to get what there is there. But what profit is it to them if they should have hundreds and thousands? What profit would it be to them? We are to use what we can, if everyone would take the means that passes into their hands, and if they would work to the very length of their capabilities and powers, that they may win souls to Christ. They are working to bring efficiency right into the cause. And able men and able women and those that can educate will be coming into the work. Preserve your brain power. Do not let anyone come in with their false representations of how you must be like the world, and act like the world, and dress like the world, if you would have any influence in the world. You have the least influence when you do that way. When you come into a position to deny self, consider that you have God's property, and that every penny that you expend is to be expended in such a way that you will not regret it afterward. What we want is a right hold upon God. What we need is a confidence in a power that is out of ourselves, but is so great, and embraces so much, and is given so freely that we can grasp it by living faith, be partakers of the divine nature, and thus escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Verse 14. We will be there to get an entrance into the city. Think you that all these preparations at Loma Linda and Glendale and the different points where we have been establishing sanitariums, think you it is due without any consideration and self-denial? We have to deny ourselves in everything to establish these institutions. The Lord laid down before me years ago what should be, and we began in Battle Creek, and we have been working from point to point, and point to point, until we have the establishment of institutions. Our Savior does not go before us in sight, only by faith, and we can have him by faith. We can by faith take hold of the remedies that he has provided, and we want every one of us to keep clean from selfishness. We do not want to draw one single thread of selfishness into the work that he has given us to do. The fabric that he has given us to produce is a sacred, holy character, a sanctified life, and we can vindicate Christ's work upon the earth and represent it. You may think that the world does not understand, but they do. They understand what principle we are working from. I have known of case after case where they have come right up after we have had a large camp meeting. Here, they say, is a sum. They never say a word. They did it in Oakland. Elder Haskell was talking, and they pressed into his hand some money. Well, he was so surprised, he did not know what it meant. He saw two or three coming into the tent, and he saw where that man went, but they did not see him. No one saw him. Two or three went out, but no one saw that man. Said he when he came and gave that money, "You will need that." It was $100. Well, he did need it. I have known case after case that the Lord works just in that way. Well, these institutions are his instrumentalities. Every one that is connected with this institution can communicate the things that are exercised in these institutions. Now, we dress simply, our people do, and everything that tendeth unto vanity excludes from you the self-sacrificing life of our Redeemer. Coming as the Prince of Life, as the Governor of the Heavenly Host, he came to this world to take a humble place, and he experienced all the temptations wherewith man is beset in our behalf. Why should we not appreciate it, and then seek to gather the divine rays of light from glory, that we shall indeed be self-denying, self-sacrificing laborers together with God? We have had established little boxes in various places in the South to help the colored people to get where they can read. Put up little boxes, and let pennies and silver bits be placed in those little boxes by children, to see what they can do. It is the greatest and best lesson they can have. And then they act their part, they are doing what they can do, and the parents act their part also. They do their best to get the work out before the people to save all the souls possible. It is a hard field. I have been there. I have worked there, and I know what it means. Blessed are they that do His commandments. Into the city. Verse 14. Don't you think there will be some rejoicing when the overcomers come up to the gates of the city? Don't you think that these triumphs that they are receiving will pay for all the self-denial and the self-sacrifice that they have made to win souls to Christ? That is my life work.
I, Jesus, have sent mine angel in the churches. Verse 16. Now an angel from heaven is strengthening every influence that is on the side of Christ and self-denial. He has angels, a multitude of angels, that are encircling around every one. And in every meeting that is held, there are angels of God present. Satan has his angels, and he will tempt and lead every soul possible to close their ears to the truth that they shall not be overcomers. But every one of us is to fight the battles of the Lord individually, wherever we are. No selfishness is to be brought in our life. And I want that we should realize this. I am the root and offspring. Say, come. Verses 16, 17. Now you can see what God's people are doing. They are not all burying themselves up in selfishness. Let him that heareth say, come. Written in this book. Verses 17 to 19. Now I want you to think of that a moment. There are plans laid in every way to change the sentiments of the Bible, that it shall not be so forbidding, they say, so forbidding. And I write my works. I write as I am talking to you. I am up hours before anyone moves in my house. I am up writing page after page, page after page, and it is coming out to the people. But it is because I am unable to sleep as I consider the peril of souls in various places, and they seem to be dead asleep. They have got the word. They come to me, those that are copying my writings, and say, now here is the better revised words, and I think I will put that in. Don't you change one word, not a word. The revised edition we do not need at all. We have got the word that Christ has spoken himself and given us. And don't you in my writings change a word for any revised edition. There will be revised editions, plenty of them, just before the close of this earth's history. And I want all my workers to understand, and I have got quite a number of them. I want them to understand that they are never to take the revised word and put it in the place of the plain, simple words just as they are. They think they are improving them, but how do they know but that they may switch off on an idea and give it less importance than Christ means them to have? But he which testifies these things saith, be with you all. Amen. Verses 20, 21. I want to see this institution and those that work here to have an uplifting of soul, to feel that they are in connection with Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life, that he is their authority for their course of action. Take the Bible just exactly as it reads and carry it out. We have no right to bury our talents up in worldly enterprises. It is God's money. It is God's facility to carry the truth. Here we have it circulated all through the world and foreign countries. I have been to Europe. I have spent years there. I have been to Australia, and we founded the work there. But I did not have the old warrior, my husband, to stand by my side. As I took his hand in mine, he could not speak, said I. Tell me, shall I be a pioneer? Shall I go just as we have traveled? If so, press my hand. He pressed my hand three times. Well, I have gone right ahead. I am nearly 80 years old, and yet the God of heaven has sustained me in doing the work up to the present time. And when the time comes that I shall lay off the armor, I want to lay it off knowing that I have done my best to advance the work of God in our world, to establish sanitariums in Australia and in various parts of the world, that we may get at the people. Oh, how I have pled with them in Europe and in Australia, as we have seen the Word of God advanced mightily. They have the most prosperous school in Australia. We were there 10 years lacking 2 months. Now, it was a battle with poverty from the beginning to the close. We are not delicate to say, God wants your money. He expects you to sustain the work in various lines, and if you will do it, there will be a consolation, a light, and a power that is not from any earthly source. Christ is coming, and the judgments of God are upon the earth. We want to prepare for the coming of the Son of Man. Just before the earthquake was in San Francisco all night, I was seeing such devastation, just as though I was in the midst of it, and the judgment day seemed to come. And when I was preparing to go from Loma Linda to Los Angeles, they asked me, "What shall I take? How shall I fix these things?" Said I, "Do what you please. My soul is so burdened, I cannot do anything. The judgments of God are right upon us." I thought it was the last day, but when I came to this place, Los Angeles, they said, "There has been a terrible earthquake, and there has been a terrible destruction in San Francisco." Then that was it. That was it, but I thought it was the judgment day. And I kept thinking if I have done all I could do for others. Now, I tell you this because I know that earthquakes are coming. I know they are coming right upon Los Angeles and other places.
Do we want to bury our talents in the earth? In thinking to make a lot of money? No. Bury your talents where you can accomplish the very work that God would have you to accomplish in this world to benefit humanity. Tell them to open the scriptures, to read, "Thus saith the Lord." You may think you have got a little talent, but just as soon as you begin to use a talent in the right way, there are angels of God that make an impression. You may be very weak, but the angel of God takes the words that are spoken in sincerity, and he drives that word right to the heart. He breaks the stubborn heart. Now we want laborers, and we want that business shall not take the place of the grand work of soul saving at this time. We want the light of heaven to shine into the soul temple, that our words shall be of that character, which shall sink into the heart as the words of Christ. Ye are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. God has his workmen, and we want to work right to the point for the saving of the souls. I will not hold you any longer, but I am thankful the Lord has given me a voice to speak. I believe he would. I did not think of anything else. He has given me a voice to speak, but I did not think at any period before this I could have spoken. I thank the Lord that he has blessed me and brought me back my voice again. Now, let us serve him. Let us serve the Lord with full purpose of heart, and his blessing will rest upon us. The satisfaction that I have in knowing that I am doing everything I can brings me up where I can lay hold of the strength of Christ, and I know he will not fail me. Let us every one come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty powers of darkness, and he will give us strength and grace.